doing more very traditional work, and then just recently started doing more contemporary looking stuff, and that's the stuff that's...
Are you planning on doing some kind of, like, opening a business with it, or...?
I don't know. Right now, the stuff I'm selling is by word of mouth. You know, I'm showing it to some people. I just haven't had as much time to work on it as I would like. I'm hoping this coming year I'll have more time so that I can produce more. I start doing some shows. The stuff I'm doing is not the artsy craftsy stuff that you can sell for $20. The stuff I'm doing are beaded loomed necklaces that I'm selling like for $200 or $300. Because they take a long time to do. You know, I'm using tiny needle beads, and by the time I finish the designs and it's an art piece. And so a lot of what I'm selling is going for, you know, 75, tell me what colors they'd like, and then I'm hoping to expand on that a little bit and do some more, because I really enjoy doing it.
Do you practice your religion? Are you Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, but I became an agnostic at about 17. I didn't agree with what I saw. I grew up in a neighborhood where we were all Catholic. Very religious families. But again, I think even at an early age, I was already fighting. I mean, I was fighting some of the values that the culture was trying to impose on me as far as being a female. I didn't agree with all that Catholicism was teaching. And I remember I was 16, 17, being at a mass and just disagreeing completely with what the priest was saying. And I got up and I walked out, and I had a big accident. I said, no, I don't. And remember, this was the 60s, so everybody was questioning everything. I had a question authority button I used to wear all the time. And that's how I felt. It's like I didn't take everything at face value. You know, I didn't agree with a lot of stuff going on. And so, and then when the kids were small, we wanted to have some sort of, you know, spiritual training. So we started attending a Unitarian church. And I kind of still do that, not regularly, but the Unitarians are pretty flexible in terms of theology, but yet they have a very long history, and they have very established churches, and so you get a sense of, you know, of religion without it being overly dogmatic.
Was your husband practicing any religion?
He was a Christian. He had been raised a Christian Scientist, but he was also in the same city. When we met, we were both agnostics. We didn't have any specific religion, but he's also attended so when they were younger and less so.
Are there any political issues today that you're passionately against or for?
You know, I still think, and it's funny because so much of it is based on my experiences, I still think there are class issues, and I don't think people are talking about them. I think they kind of talk around them, because we still have issues with students dropping out of school. We have a lot of homeless. We have a lot of dropouts, and not just dropouts from school, but dropouts from society. They don't feel like they're part of this society, and that's why they're on the fringe. They're completely disenfranchised. They don't feel like they have a say or buy-in into what's going on in society, and that's scary. Because the numbers, I don't have any statistics to back this up, but it seems that maybe the numbers are growing. And I think people need to address that. I think there are, you know, one of the things that I think is a legacy that I've had arguments with people about is, I remember in the 60s when Ronald Reagan was governor of California, one of the acts that he perpetrated on his state was reducing the budgets for all of the mental health institutions.
Oh, right.
And all the mentally ill people who are on the border, who are under care, were released. And I thought that's when we started seeing the homeless population increase. All these people who are just mentally ill enough that they can't quite function, you know, in society, so they're on the fringe. They're out there, and I blame him. I blame him and his cohorts at the time, because I think it was the wrong decision. And that's when we started, I remember as a little kid, there were always the alcoholics, you know, the bums, they used to call them. But they were always men, and there was just a few. But now, it's young, it's women, it's children, And it's, I mean, it's college students that we know are, you know, living in their cars because they don't have the money to live anywhere else. They're out there, and even though there are homeless shelters and the churches do a lot with providing homeless, you know, with amenities, I don't think there's enough being done to address the real issues about why these people are homeless. How many of them are completely removed from the society and so they don't want, they don't do anything? How many others are mentally ill to the point where they can't function? And I think more needs to be done. Things that we as a society need to be looking at and dealing with instead of ignoring it and stating, oh, well, they just don't want to work. Well, that's not true. Anybody who comes up with that simplistic reason is fooling themselves. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of some of the issues that I think I'd like to see addressed. And I'm hoping to start doing some more stuff like that again.
Mm. That's it on my questions. Was there anything else that you wanted to add? That
just that, you know, for the class, as Marion told me what the class was, I think it's really important for students, and I don't mean, you know, students of any one particular ilk, just any students. You know, college is a learning experience, and the more that you learn about other people and other types of things going on, I think the better off you guys will be for it, no matter what the major is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes students, especially like at a school like Cal Poly, where the focus is so intense on, you know, the learn by doing for what it is you're majoring in, that's fine. But sometimes I look at some of the engineering students and I'm thinking, man, they're missing some of the most important years of their lives by not interacting with some of the liberal studies students. Instead of making fun of the liberal studies students because they're not going into engineering, or the business students making fun of, you know, some others because they're not going into business, they lose sight of the fact that, hey, you know what? You can be an engineering major and know everything there is to know about that and know absolutely nothing about what's going on in the rest of the world and society. And you need to know that in order to be a productive member of society and in order to contribute being a, you know, a broker, because you've got your MBA, an attorney, and focusing on, you know, business law or something. I think it's really important for students to keep on, so much more going on out there than you realize, and unless you keep your eyes, that's pretty much it.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that gives you enough to work with.